Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday night, December 17th. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. Well, I had a very busy weekend this weekend, folks. Productive, I'm pleased to say. Sometimes I can't always say that, but it was a productive weekend, and I hope your weekend was good in some way or another. Well, it's hard to believe we have a whole new week ahead of us, and we're moving closer and closer towards Christmas. There will be an issue of American Free Press this week. Originally, there wasn't supposed to be, and now the folks there at the American Free Press office are struggling to get it all together. So you will get an extra issue of American Free Press this year. Think of that as a Christmas present. Speaking of Christmas presents, I've been reminding you that you do want to make a Christmas present to the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's a very important thing to do, folks. I've been telling you, skip sending out your Christmas cards this year and just send one. Send one of them to the Republic Broadcasting Network with a nice little Christmas present in. If you're here on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org, you know where the website is and you know where that address in Round Rock, Texas is. 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I did have a guest scheduled for this evening, but then initially I was thinking that RBN was not broadcasting live tonight. I got some confused by, apparently Republic is going to be not doing the streaming live or whatever it's called. See, I don't know all this technical stuff. Between 12 midnight and 6 a.m., I misread that earlier today to think that it meant 12 noon. But no, folks, it's 12 midnight, so you are going to get a couple more hours of good programming live here tonight. And I'm assuming that one of those hours is going to be my hour. So in any case, my scheduled guest for tonight, I rescheduled for Wednesday night, and it's my friend and new colleague at American Free Press, Pat Shannon, and we're going to be talking about the Ron Paul campaign and how the mass media is treating his candidacy or not treating it, as the case may be. And I think we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, Ron Paul has suddenly dropped out of the news, at least in the mass media. And I think we all know why. I think we all know the fact that he has raised, again, a considerable sum of money from the grassroots, and truly from the grassroots. And the people who control the mass media in America don't like that fact. Well, I'm going to be talking with Pat Shannon about that subject, and I'm going to touch on it later in this broadcast here. I do have a number of things I want to run by you here this evening, so it'll be a while before I get around to taking telephone calls, but all things being equal, we will get around to the phones. In the meantime, I just want to say that my guest from the other evening, Tony Blizzard, my old friend from American Free Press, formerly of American Free Press, enjoyed the show very much. He enjoyed the give and take with the callers and said that it was a lot of fun, and I know you enjoyed hearing Tony talk too. One night I'm going to get Tony on here and let him talk about his favorite subject. He's got a lot of subjects he's interested in. But one of them is money, and I know that's a subject of interest to a lot of you. What is real money? What should be our money system in this country? Well, we know one thing, folks. The money system in this country is not our money system. The money system of the International Banking House of Rothschild and their satellites on American soil. All right, we're going to the break. When we come back, I'm going to give you a couple mini book reviews, so to speak, and then talk about some other things that are in the media, in the press at this time, maybe buried in the press. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I almost misplaced my telephone here, and you might have heard me running around screaming at the top of my voice if I wouldn't have found it. And my voice can be very loud. Well, a couple books I want to make mention of. You know, sometimes I really hate to spend money on books by authors that I don't care for or who upset me in some reason. But, you know, unfortunately, to find out what's going on in the world and to try to find out what people are saying about things, you do have to spend money on books by authors you don't necessarily care for. Interesting book I have in my hand, interesting for a variety of reasons, is The Road to 9/11, or 9/11, however you care to say it, Wealth, Empire, and the Future of America. And it's by Peter Dale Scott. He's a professor emeritus of English at the University of California at Berkeley and the author of a number of very interesting books, which I have read, Cocaine Politics, Drugs, Armies, and the CIA in Central America, and Deep Politics and the Death of JFK. This is a very interesting book about some of the geopolitics in the United States and the United States' role in the world and how the United States got embroiled in the Middle East to the extent that it played a part in creating what we generally know of as Al-Qaeda. It is an interesting book, folks, but there's one thing about it that bothers me, and it is so typical of everything that Peter Dale Scott writes. Peter Dale Scott has this problem with using several words in his writings, even though much of his writing, even about the death of JFK and certainly about the international drug trade and certainly about the U.S. CIA and its role in the Middle East, two words that Peter Dale Scott has a problem with using. It's as though when he comes to using these words, he just can't bring out these words. One of the words is Israel. Now, he will occasionally use that word. And another word that he really has trouble using in any context, in any negative context, or certainly in connection with anything that he writes about, even though what he writes about deals directly with the topic, and that word is Mossad, as in Israel's intelligence agency, the Mossad. Well, you know, one of the things I typically do when I pick up a book is look at the index, first of all, to see just what is mentioned, who is mentioned, and in what context it's mentioned in the book. And I turn to the index in Peter Dale Scott's book. And in this substantial book of over 400 pages, Israel does appear four times. Oh, make that five times. And then it says, see also American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Well, to make a long story short, folks, I'm already taking too much time talking about this. To make a long story short, folks, Mr. Peter Dale Scott, does manage to mention Israel in passing, kind of in the list of, well, there are countries in the Middle East with names such as Israel and Pakistan and Iraq and Iran. This entire book by Peter Dale Scott hardly is able to mention Israel, and this is how the book is described. The Road to 9/11 is an ambitious, meticulous examination of how U.S. foreign policy since the 1960s has led to partial or total cover-ups of past domestic criminal acts, including the World Trade Center bombing of 1993 and perhaps by extension to the catastrophe of 9/11. Yeah, Peter Dale Scott, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say I have a bias against him because I have been told by at least one person and possibly two that Peter Dale Scott does not think too highly of me to the extent that he thinks of me at all, because of the fact that I have dared to suggest that the Mossad was a prime player, if not the primary player, in the JFK assassination conspiracy alongside the CIA and certain lower-level elements of organized crime, and I don't mean the Mafia. I mean the Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate. Meyer Lansky being the big man in organized crime, and I'm here to tell you Meyer Lansky was not an Italian-American. But in any case, once again, Peter Dale Scott has come up with a very interesting book. But it's a very interesting book that if it's trying to discuss U.S. foreign policy since the 1960s, and specifically U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East to a large extent, Peter Dale Scott has failed and failed badly. Because, let's be honest about it, folks, we know who dominates U.S. foreign policy, and we know, in particular, who dominates U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. And it ain't the Muslims, folks. Kind of funny. In his book, in a footnote, Mr. Scott makes reference to certain figures such as Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz being part of a group that was described by a writer, a liberal writer named Michael Clare, K-L-A-R-E, as the Prussians. Well, Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and their mentor, Albert Volstetter, were not Prussian in ethnic origin. They are not Prussian in ethnic origin. But isn't it funny that writers like Peter Dale Scott would say that the term Prussians was a useful distinction in describing people such as Perle, Wolfowitz, and Volstetter. I mean, talk about shading the language. Talk about misrepresentation. Talk about misleading the readers. if you've read Final Judgment, my book on the Kennedy assassination, and I hope you have, I have some references to the work of Peter Dale Scott in there, and I always say that he has a tendency to tiptoe up to the door marked Mossad and just stare on it. He never even really knocks on the door. He just stares at the door and turns away. He talks about deep politics and the dark underbelly, and yet in his world of deep politics, the dark underbelly, the Mossad hardly exists at all. And so therefore, I have to say, folks, he's being a little bit disingenuous, and I'm being generous here. All right, well, one more book. I really regret having purchased this. It's by Martin Gilbert. He's a British historian who has apparently written many, many books, far more than I realized. The most notable among them, however, is his massive biography of Winston Churchill. Well, what he has done now is put out a new book called Churchill and the Jews, Churchill and the Jews, A Lifelong Friendship. Well, the Washington Post book world calls it a grand story. No, I'm sorry, that's a referral to his previous book. But in any case, the book has gotten favorable reviews, and everybody just thinks it's absolutely wonderful. It's very interesting. In the book, Gilbert does talk about Winston Churchill's famous article, Zionism and Bolshevism, A Struggle for the Soul of the Jewish People. That was published in the Illustrated Sunday Herald of London on February 8, 1920. That article has been commented upon many, many times, and reproduced. Illustrations of it have been reproduced by many, many people, and it is actually reproduced in this book. But I have to tell you, folks, this has to be one of the most boring books that I have ever read in my life. I pointed this out to a friend of mine who stopped by yesterday. And now, Mark Glenn has been here in my apartment in Washington, and he has seen the massive numbers of books that I have. I've got a lot of books, folks. And not all of my books are here. Some of them are in storage elsewhere. But, okay, I've read probably most of these books, if not from beginning to end, much of them. But I'm here to tell you that Churchill and the Jews, A Lifelong Friendship by Martin Gilbert, is one of the most horrendously boring books. I'm repeating myself, but I just have to repeat it. It's just such a crashing bore. But at the same time, it's very, very revealing because it shows that practically from the beginning of his career, Winston Churchill was tied up lock, stock, and barrel with Jewish interests, not always necessarily Zionist Jewish interests, but Jewish interests nonetheless. Turns out that Churchill, this grand wizard of humanity, if we are to believe what we always hear about Churchill, was not so generous towards the Muslim people. In fact, he was a real Muslim hater, and in the book cheerfully and gleefully quotes Churchill's attacks on the Muslims. Well, folks, if there's anybody who is shoveling coal in hell alongside Jerry Falwell and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it is undeniably Winston Churchill. This guy was just a bad, bad man. It's funny, they quote General Edward Lewis Spears, who was a dear friend of Winston Churchill, as saying, "Even Winston had a fault. He was too fond of Jews." It's very, very interesting, folks, because there is strong evidence to suggest that for many, many years, Churchill was effectively on the payroll of powerful Jewish interests, and that perhaps explains precisely the policies that so enthralled him. Well, that's our book reviews for this evening, folks. Book World with Michael Collins Piper. Stay tuned. Some more commentary which may upset you if you're politically correct and believe what you hear in the mass media about various and sundry things.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on an extended rant about subjects various and sundry. Well, I mentioned I would talk a little bit more about Ron Paul. The Washington Post has a piece about Ron Paul today, very brief item. Says it refers to him as the libertarian surprise in the Republican camp. Well, this is what's interesting again, folks. When a Washington Post has mentioned Ron Paul over the last several weeks, they have mentioned in passing, but they have mentioned it, that Ron Paul is doing well. He's threatening, the Post writes, to break double digits in the New Hampshire primary, where he could embarrass other candidates, including Rudy Giuliani. The Washington Post is telling its influential readers that Ron Paul could embarrass other candidates, including Giuliani, and yet, folks, they don't mention him in the context of their more broad-ranging discussions of the campaign. In this little throwaway item on Ron Paul, they do mention it as though they're mentioning it for the record. This is the same Ron Paul that the Washington Post said a couple weeks ago threatens to upend the race for the Republican presidential nomination. Very interesting, folks. Very, very interesting. They definitely know that something is happening out there in la-la land. People aren't so la-la anymore. They do, of course, They do, of course, like Mike Huckabee, and we'll be talking about that in a moment. Well, folks, I learned a long time ago not to make political predictions, especially when they seem outrageous. But I tell you what, years ago, one of the predictions I made that seemed very outrageous to a lot of people, including, as I recall, Willis Cardo, the publisher of The Spotlight, I said in the year 2000 that Hillary Clinton, everybody was saying Hillary Clinton's going to run for the U.S. Senate in New York in the year 2000, which indeed she did, folks. What a lot of people didn't know at the time, though, despite all the buzz, was that the filing date for the 2000 Democratic Senate primary in New York was like September. So in other words, she basically had the whole year to decide whether or not to file. All the time the media was promoting her possible candidacy. Well, I was saying all along, folks, that I was reading something else into the activities of Hillary Clinton, and I was saying that I was absolutely sure that she that year was already maneuvering to run for president. I sensed something was afoot. I said that I couldn't believe that she would be so bold as to run for president in the year 2000. But I thought that she was interested in doing it. And Van Lohman, who's been a guest on this show, Van Lohman and I concurred with this. And Van actually wrote a piece for American Free Press that we worked on together, in which we talked, or not American Free Press, The Spotlight, in which we talked about the possibility of Hillary being a candidate for president in 2000. Well, of course, she did end up running for the Senate. But, folks, I'm here to tell you that in roughly 2001, The Nation magazine reported that behind the scenes in the early part of 1999 and the early part of the year 2000, Hillary Clinton was maneuvering for a spot as Al Gore's running mate on the 2000 Democratic ticket. So, folks, I'm here to tell you that Mike Piper and Van Lohman were not far off the mark. There was something going on. I spotted it. I made the prediction. I was kind of proven wrong, but it turns out I really wasn't far off. Now, I've also been predicting, as those of you know who listen to this show, I've been predicting for a long time that Senator Joe Lieberman, Democrat turned independent from Connecticut, would end up being, if not the Republican Vice President of the United States or the Vice President of the United States prior to the year 2009, possibly through the ouster of Dick Cheney and or President Bush, some maneuvers that might catapult Joe Lieberman to the presidency. I said that if that didn't happen, I thought it was a very good possibility that Joe Lieberman would be the Republican Party's vice presidential candidate in the year 2008. That's a couple weeks from now, as you know, 2008. And that's when the parties are going to be nominating their national tickets. Well, today, as you probably heard in the news, that wonderful independent, that splendid, splendid man, as described by Jerry Falwell, that splendid former Democrat turned independent, has endorsed John McCain for the Republican presidential nomination. That's a real break with the Democratic Party, folks, and I'm here to tell you, in the year 2008, I can just see it now. The Republican presidential nominee very grandly reaching across the political spectrum, reaching across the aisle, and selecting a Democrat. Democrat turned independent who's shown that he's dedicated to America and dedicated to fighting international terrorism and preserving our Democratic allies around the world. That's Israel, of course, you know. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I think it's as good a shot as anything that Joe Lieberman will be the Republican vice presidential nominee. You heard it here first. I'm going out on a limb, folks, but I think I'm right. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here, ranting and raving. Eventually going to get around to the phones, I think. Well, you may have heard in the press today the controversy surrounding a remark by Mike Huckabee, the would-be president from Arkansas. He made some comment to the effect asking a reporter for the New York Times, Zev Chaffetz, who did a profile of Huckabee for the New York Times magazine over the weekend. He apparently asked him the question, which Chaffetz recited back in his article, something to the effect that, don't the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ and Lucifer were brothers? Well, obviously, this could have been a legitimate, serious question by Huckabee, because frankly, I think I remember hearing something to that effect somewhere at some point, some time ago, in someone discussing Mormonism or reading about Mormonism. Be that as it may, the very fact that the media jumped on this comment, again, seems to me to be an effort to build up Huckabee and to tear down Mitt Romney, the Mormon candidate in the race for the White House. I don't think, no matter what Mitt Romney does, that he will ever be completely acceptable to the Zionist powers that be, the Jewish powers that be, or to really any powers that be, for the simple reason of his allegiance to his church, which is a very powerful entity on American soil and around the world. Anybody of that strong religious faith, I don't think, can ever be completely trusted unless they are completely loyal to Jewish interests. And I don't think that the Jewish interests in this country or around the world will ever be able to trust a Mormon. Quite the opposite, I think, though. They would certainly feel comfortable with Mike Huckabee for reasons which we don't need to go into, but which I think are obvious to anyone who's familiar with Mike Huckabee's general point of view. Be that as it may, again, I think they're deliberately stirring this up to try to get the focus on the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon and trying to scare people. I don't know that Huckabee deliberately said it for that reason, or ever that he even expected it to be used, but nonetheless, the media has used it that way and just reminded people that Mitt Romney is a Mormon. But what's more interesting in that article in the New York Times Magazine about Mike Huckabee, which featured a nice big front page picture of him, we find out that Huckabee, when asked who influences his thinking on foreign policy, he mentioned Thomas Friedman, the New York Times columnist, and Frank Gaffney, a neoconservative and the founder of a research group called the Center for Security Policy. Well, Zev Chaffetz writes, this is like taking travel advice from Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf, but the governor seemed unaware of the incongruity. Well, actually, I don't think there is anything incongruous about that, for the simple reason that even though Frank Gaffney is known as a neoconservative and Thomas Friedman of the New York Times is known as a bit of a liberal, the fact is that Friedman and Gaffney share one thing of mutual concern and interest, and that is their support for Israel. Frank Gaffney is a real hellish sort. One of our listeners wrote me a letter some time ago, which I meant to read on the air. He had met Frank Gaffney years ago, back when Frank Gaffney was just a lower-level staffer on Capitol Hill in Washington and working his way up the ladder. Well, Frank Gaffney is a longtime associate of Richard Perle and an acolyte of the neoconservative Crystal family. He's a real bad man, folks, and the fact that this real bad man influences the thinking of Mike Huckabee tells me that we should influence people not to like Mike Huckabee. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there, folks, who say, oh, well, Mike Huckabee's a man of God. He's a minister. He's a good Christian. We need a man like that in the White House. Well, folks, we don't need a man like Mike Huckabee in the White House. That's for sure. But isn't it interesting? He talks about Frank Gaffney being an influence on his point of view. Folks, he might as well say Menachem Begin or Ariel Sharon or Satan influences his point of view. That's what we're getting here. And you know another thing, folks, that everybody seems to forget about. You know, we know that there have been several states that the Rockefeller family have made their political outposts. Two very poor states, Arkansas and West Virginia. Jay Rockefeller is senator from West Virginia now. Winthrop Rockefeller was governor in the 1960s as a Republican. And young Bill Clinton, some people say he may be a Rockefeller. I won't even go into that. But young Bill Clinton, although he was a young liberal Democrat, worked for Winthrop Rockefeller's congressional campaign, or his gubernatorial campaign back there in the 1960s. A lot of people don't know that. And then, of course, you know, when Mike Huckabee was governor, his lieutenant governor was Winthrop Paul Rockefeller Jr., the son of the former Rockefeller governor. Folks, everybody thinks of Arkansas as being this backward state. Well, it may well be a backward state, but there's some very powerful financial interests in Arkansas, such as the Jackson Stevens Company. They have actually been supporting Huckabee financially. They're some of the same people that supported Bill Clinton, ladies and gentlemen. Do you get it? Mike Huckabee is a Rockefeller boy. And the Rockefellers, of course, they have diminished in their financial power and influence. They're on their way out as a real force in this country. They don't have anywhere near the money that they've often thought to have. In many respects, they have always been satellites, lower-level tier people in the Rothschild sphere of influence. And that's exactly what we have here. We have really, in one sense, another Bill Clinton, but this time he comes in the guise of a former Baptist minister turned conservative Republican. So, folks, you know, I'm just here warning you. I know there's a lot of people out there who are saying, oh, he's a good Christian man. We need to support him. He's the best thing in the, you know. Folks, that's all part of the game. They are trying to mislead us. Oh, it gets frustrating. We know I have a lot of things more to say, but, you know, they can hold. We have some callers lined up here. I'm going to try to bring a few of them up anyway, but our first, who's been on board for a while, is our friend Jim from Texas. So let's just bring Jim up. Jim, what's going on?
Mike, I would describe Huckabee as an airbrushed Hagee. That's what he is. He's airbrushed. He's a little more diplomatic than Hagee, but he's a Hagee. Okay? He's completely 100% Israel, 100% the Israeli or the Jewish agenda, and I don't know if anybody can tell me any different.
Well, you know, Jim, the problem is, though, and I'm repeating myself here, but the problem is there are still so many people out there, good, real good Christian people out there, who are tired of dirty politics and who are tired of crooked politicians. And they really buy this argument that we need a good Christian in the White House. That's the scary part about this, Jim.
Yeah, but Mike, there's no such thing as a good Christian that supports Israel.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Jim. But, you know, the average American out there who is rallying behind Huckabee, these people, they really think that they've got a real good choice here. And, well, you and I know better. I just hope that there's somebody out there. I mean, if they can't get it on the issue of Israel, maybe they can get it. Maybe they can understand when they realize that the state of Arkansas is a Rockefeller family fiefdom, and nobody gets elected governor of Arkansas unless they're backed up by the Rockefeller forces. That's just an absolute rule of thumb.
It's like nobody gets elected in the United States unless they're an avid and unqualified supporter of Israel.
Well,
you don't get
true.
Elected, with the possible exception of Ron Paul.
Well,
okay?
You know,
that's
and
the
even,
only
you know,
possible
I tell you
exception.
Something. I heard Michael Medved on with our caller Mike from Illinois on that broadcast that Mike sent me a copy of and which I talked about here in the show. It's kind of funny because Michael Medved jumped in to say, well, you know, you say that no one can be elected in the United States without the support of the Israeli lobby. And then he mentioned Ron Paul specifically. Well, you know, here's the thing about it. They can stand one person or two people or 10 people or 20 people in Congress or even 100 people in Congress who don't necessarily go along with the pro-Israel agenda on every issue, as long as those people don't speak out, as long as those people don't cause a ruckus, as long as they have the majority of the votes. So, and I'm sure Mike, of course, realizes this, and I know Michael Medved realizes this too. So these people that think they've gotcha, they say gotcha when they can say, well, what about Ron Paul? No, that isn't a gotcha. All it is just confirmation that there are people who can get elected out there who don't necessarily share the entire agenda, but on the bigger picture, and that's what we're talking about here, in the bigger picture, what you said is absolutely right. They've got
and
the
Mike,
control.
There were only two people in the last several Congresses that they allowed to get away with it until they turned on Traficant. Was Traficant and Ron Paul. That's the only two they allowed.
Well, you know, actually, don't forget Cynthia McKinney and Earl Hilliard, both Southern black Democrats, but of course both of them got thrown out of office.
How quick did they get rid of them, Mike? How quick?
Well, that's it, exactly. The minute either of them started to make any noises, they absolutely moved against them. That's correct. But I'm saying
because they were afraid of losing the black community to them. That's why. As far as Traficant and Ron Paul, they weren't worried at all. They couldn't care less about them. Except now they're worried about Ron Paul because I understand he raised something like $12 million yesterday or the day before or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not clear on that. The last report I saw was that it was something like $5 or $6 million. Now, I haven't checked the news since I saw that one report, and I don't know how old it was. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, even if he didn't raise $12 million and only raised that hallowed figure of $6 million, that's still a heck of a lot of money for someone who has been virtually blacked out by the mass media in this country. I mean, he's raised more money than a lot of the so-called front-runner candidates in a shorter amount of time. And, well, you know, you said it. You said it exactly, Jim. They have reason to be scared at this point.
Well, but they're not too scared because look what they trotted out today, Lieberman endorsing McCain, okay? they control both sides of every argument. They always have, or they've always tried to control both sides of every argument. So they think, okay, Huckabee might be fading, so we'll just throw Lieberman into the McCain. So no matter who assumes the lead, that they're in control of them. That's how they operate.
Well, that's the thing, and that's why what happens with the Ron Paul campaign, particularly I think in New Hampshire, is going to be very, very telling in a lot of ways. And that's something, we'll save that for Wednesday night. Jim, I have to move on here. We have another Jim waiting to come up very patiently. Jim from Pennsylvania. Jim, come on up.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
How you doing tonight?
Good. Listen, Mike, I had been wanting to approach you on a topic that I kind of disagree with you on.
Well, go ahead.
And that's the topic of your support, so to speak, for Ahmadinejad in Iran.
Go ahead. What do you have to say?
Well, I'll just give you a couple examples. I wanted to lead this discussion into also talking about crypto Jews. Back in July 24th, there was an article in the New York Sun by a writer called Hillel Halkin.
Mm-hmm.
Halkin?
Yeah, Hillel Halkin, I think it is, yeah.
Right. And he wrote an article called Ataturk Overturned. You can get it through a Google search. And he goes, it's a three-page article there on the Internet, and he talks about how Ataturk was actually a crypto-Jew.
Right, I'm familiar with that. That's been around for a long, long time, actually. I remember reading... In fact, I think Eustace Mullins wrote about that, I believe, in his book, The New History of the Jews. So that's not real news, but I'm aware of it.
No, I understand. And then recently, on December 11th, there was a public speech given by former President Mohammad Khatami. It was given at Tehran University where he publicly criticized Ahmadinejad.
Okay.
The New York Times ran that article, and they were saying that is how unusual it was for such a venue of high public visibility. And then on 11/21, November 21st, the BBC ran an article where it described the former president Khamenei talked about how he feels that Ahmadinejad is leading the nation in the wrong direction. It actually accused him of behaving immorally towards his political rivals. And it talks about how rare this kind of public attack is on Ahmadinejad. Now, these are just two very, very high-profile Iranians in the past month or so that have attacked Ahmadinejad. And, you know, I've been following the press, and I've noticed that there's been, you know, like over the past year or so, there have been a lot of these articles appearing where very high-profile Iranian people have been attacking Ahmadinejad as being needlessly provocative towards the West. And, you know, considering the idea of crypto Jews, you know, like, you know, Vicente Fox down in Mexico is a Jew. You probably heard about Fidel Castro is a Murano Jew. Kirchner down in Argentina is a Jew. You know, we have our own crypto Jews in this country.
Well, I tell you something. That story about Castro, I've never seen it. I've never seen it actually confirmed. That's been floating around for years. Likewise, the story about Kirchner, I'm not clear on that either. But I tell you what, in a country like Iran, if you're suggesting that Ahmadinejad is a crypto Jew, I don't think he would have gotten as far as he was or as far as he did if, in fact, he were a Jew or a crypto Jew, as the case may be. Well, and, you know, bear in mind also that he doesn't run that country. The Islamic leaders run that country. And basically, he is allowed to get away with what he does say because he has their implicit support. Jim, stay on for the break here. Michael Collins Piper here. We are going to a break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Michael Collins Piper here. We have Jim from Pennsylvania aboard. Jim, if I could interrupt your train of thought here for a moment, but it's on the same lines. You know, in my files, I was going through my files here the other day, I found an old clipping from, I believe, the B'nai B'rith Messenger with a little news item in, and remember, this is a Jewish newspaper, saying, guess what, Yasser Arafat's mother is said to be Jewish. Well, a few years before they ran that article, I believe it was that same newspaper, or certainly another Jewish newspaper, had another similar little news item saying that Muammar Gaddafi's mother was Jewish. Now, I have never seen any proof anywhere of either of these allegations, but I'm here to tell you, at the time I remember thinking, oh, isn't that interesting, but now in retrospect I look back on it and I see exactly what it was, deliberate provocations to try to indirectly smear both Gaddafi and Arafat among their own supporters and to raise questions about them. So, you know, I just don't believe that Ahmadinejad is a Jew or a crypto-Jew. I mean, if we get to the point, Jim, where we think that nothing is as it seems, then what can we believe?
No, Mike, I'm not saying that there's proof that he is, but we know that for centuries, in both the Christian world and the Islamic world, the Jews have shown an uncanny ability to disguise their origins, disguise their nationality, to blend into the population, and to be crypto-Muslims or crypto-Jews. Now, in Iran, you know, it's well known that the Jewish community there is very ancient. It's been there for 2,500 years. It's in the vicinity of 25,000 to 35,000 people. So all I'm saying is given what Ataturk pulled off in Turkey, I can't dismiss the possibility that Ahmadinejad is a crypto-Jew, and in the sense that he has kind of used this provocative language over the past 2 years, he's kind of given more leeway to the Zionist Anglo-American establishment.
Jim, I understand the argument you're making, but the thing about it is that you could extend that argument and say that anybody anywhere, whether it's Hugo Chavez, and I've heard people say that about Hugo Chavez, you know, that Hugo Chavez is, well, if he's not secretly a Jew, that he's certainly doing the work of the Jews by criticizing Israel and by allying with Ahmadinejad. I mean, you could extend that to anybody who is a critic of Israel or critic of organized Jewry and say, well, they're just really working for the Jews, or they are a Jew themselves. And I in Iran today, considering the fact that it is tightly controlled politically, I just cannot believe that the ruling elite in that country, the ruling religious elite, would have deliberately allowed Ahmadinejad, if he were a crypto Jew working to advance the Zionist agenda, to become president. I mean, unless you want to take it to the natural extension and say that all of the ruling elite are actually crypto Jews.
No.
You see what I mean? So I understand what you're saying, Jim, and it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I guess I have to hope that there are a few brave people out there who say what they mean and mean what they say. And, you know, I've met the guy. I've been in his presence. I think he's a very strong and spiritual individual. I could be 100% wrong.
Right. Well, listen, I just want to throw that up for discussion, Mike. And the other thing, there are a few people out there like Dr. Lorraine Day and a couple other people who talk about the bin Ladens from Yemen as being crypto-Jews.
I've heard that as well. In fact, I have an Arab friend, a Christian Arab friend, who says that there's not even a name bin Laden in the Arabic world. So, who knows?
All right, Mike.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're wrapping it up. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up.